Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report, and I bring on one of the most brilliant minds in terms of functional medicine, natural medicine, Dr. Bob Teal, who's also one of the senior people at the Continuing Church of God. And I got to say, for all the conversations I've had over the years, I have to agree 98% of what you say. I'm still in the learning process, learning all the things. One of the ones you said today, which I agree with, and you're a little bit concerned when I offered to bring on the show, said, now remember, Deagle, we don't vote. And then, of course, you said today, we don't celebrate Christmas. I can see why. So I want you to expand on that, because to be honest with you, although we have the remnants of Christmas around our home, I don't agree with it. In fact, even my daughter, who's got mosaic Down syndrome, she knows Santa's a fantasy, and Christmas is just a kind of like it's almost like a public holiday to have Christmas inside music and so on. But to be honest with you, I don't do Christmas celebrations at a church or anything like that. I don't agree with it. So I want you to expand on that and explain why Christmas is not Christian. And that's important for people to understand that, so they have a deeper understanding of the Bible and the truth and the apostasy that's gripping our nation and our churches.
Well, thanks for having me on. Thanks for giving me an opportunity, because I know this is kind of unpopular with a lot of people.
But I'm the chief of unpopular. In fact, one of the reasons why I don't have callers to my show is because they're afraid that they're going to get intellectually beaten up, because if someone comes with a calm question, they're not going to do an hominem attack, if they want to intellectually fence with me, it's going to get ugly. But I'm teachable. I mean, I can have a grandma who's got grade 3, but she has a clue and she has a point, or a brilliant person like yourself can teach me. But if you come and say, I disagree and I don't have evidence, logic, or common sense, or you're a locksmith of the Bible like your church is, I'm going to come against you, but I'm learnable. I'm teachable. So I want you to explain this, because I totally agree that Halloween is evil, the Feast of Ishtar is evil, and so is Christmas. It's the height of evil, isn't it?
Well, the problem with Christmas, okay, first let me say some positive things for just a moment. I'm not a person who, when he grew up, had bad Christmas memories. Okay, I want to start off. It's nothing like that.
Yeah,
my parents, my relatives, everybody else. Okay, that was fine. I did not have traumas from it or anything.
Exactly.
Along that line.
So you're not a post-traumatic recoverer. In other words, we still have a Christmas tree and a little village on our piano, but we don't do all the crazy stuff, and we don't go to church on Christmas, and we don't celebrate it.
Again, as the background, it's not because I had some negative experiences, because I did not.
Right.
Because I did not, I understand why people do celebrate Christmas and et cetera. So I get all that. When I was a little kid, I would sing Christmas carols. My mom and I would decorate the tree and all this kind of stuff. But I did it because that's what everybody did. It was just a tradition, and we did it, and it's a kind of a family thing. And unlike you, I did go to a church. It would have been midnight mass.
I did that when I was a kid and when I was in my teens, yeah.
Right, okay. So anyway, so that was a little bit about my background. But as I got a little older, I started to look more into this. And there's a couple of different issues associated with it. But one, I'd like to quote something from the Bible. This is
right.
I want to quote from both a Catholic translation and a Protestant translation.
Right.
Catholics and or Protestants don't think I'm being biased one versus.
Yeah, you're not being biased when you're telling the truth, right?
Yeah, I hope not. Anyway,
yeah.
Again, so first I'm going to read, this is Jude 3 from the New Jerusalem Bible, which is a Catholic translation. It says, "Fight hard for the faith which has been once and for all entrusted to God's holy people." And that's a Catholic translation. Now I'm going to read from the New King James, which is a Protestant translation, same verse. It says, "Contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So whether you fight hard for it or contend earnestly, basically they're saying, you know, both the Catholic and the Protestant sources are saying the same thing. What you're supposed to press for or believe in or advocate is the original faith.
Right.
So you start to think about that. Okay, well, people say, yeah, well, Jesus was originally born. That's true. His birth is mentioned in
right.
the Bible.
In
the New
but
Testament.
Even the circumstances didn't include the time where there would be, you know, no sheep on the hills and so on, which is so-called December. It was in the fall. At least, you know, even if you don't dispute the actual day, you can't agree that it was at the time that they designated as Christmas, which is actually from a pagan feast day, which is the date they currently sacrifice after the winter solstice, right?
Yes, but getting back to the, I got to tell you something about the sheep thing. Since you brought the sheep right. thing up, I'm really glad you did. I actually saw something this morning that, and it might, probably was a post from last night. There's one source that says all these people who say that Jesus could not have been born in December because of sheep. Look at this, and they show pictures of sheep in snow. Okay. Now this is cute, and now I used to have sheep, by the way, as well as goats and cows,
right.
turkeys, etc. Okay, I know full well that a sheep can be outside in the winter.
Right.
But what they failed to put in this little article or post that was supposed to make fun of people who didn't believe Christmas or Jesus was born on December 25th is that sure sheep have no problem sleeping outside with all their wool. That's not what it says. What it says in Luke's account, I believe it's Luke's, that the shepherds were in the field that night, okay? Well, the shepherds didn't stay in the field at night that late in the year because it was too cold. Now, I realize that sheep could be out in the snow, but that the shepherds were not. So
right.
back in that part of the world, back then, the shepherds were not out with the sheep. And this, by the way, even, for example, the Catholic Encyclopedia says it was not that it's not possible. Okay, they were not there. The other thing, what the Catholic Encyclopedia also says about it not being possible, we read about a census in the Book of Luke, and the Catholic Encyclopedia says it was not possible that the census was in the winter. So you've got two things that happened according to Luke's account. You had the shepherds staying in the field overnight. And they were not doing that in late December in that part of the world.
Right.
Number one. And two, people all know that, you know, Jesus' mother Mary and Joseph, they went to Bethlehem to be registered for the census. And according to various sources, including the Catholic Encyclopedia, says it's not possible that the census was in the winter.
Right.
So one issue you've got with it is just specifically, if you just look at the Bible, or primarily look at the Bible and some common sense. Okay? I mean, common sense part is like, okay, Bible said they slept outside. Common sense says, wait a second, historically they didn't sleep outside that late in the year. So you know, December 25th really isn't dead. You've said basically where it came from. We'll get to that later as far as the date. But I want to start, it's kind of the more basic level, because people will bring up all kinds of arguments, but really you need to start with Scripture.
Right, yeah. The Scripture always unlocks everything, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the important one I started this time was with Jude 3, which is the original faith. Well, as it turns out, original Christians, early Christians, did not celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, there's different
right.
reasons. There are a couple different reasons for this. One is that the people in that area didn't celebrate birthdays at all. It was basically only done by, let's say, certain rulers, etc. So they were not celebrating birthdays, and so they didn't think, oh, since Jesus is a king, maybe we should celebrate his birthday. It simply
right.
was not done. And you can look through the historical accounts You can find it a century or two after Jesus was resurrected, that some type of observation started happening in areas where people, let's say, were not as faithful to the Bible.
Right.
But the reality is they simply were not keeping it. And even according, I mentioned the Catholic Encyclopedia before. You can look at the Catholic Encyclopedia article and it says Christmas was not one of the original holy days, holidays that early Christians kept. It was not in any of the early lists. Nobody listed that this was what Christians were doing.
Wow.
Includes,
yeah, in other words, it's not one of the things that was done in the church in the first few centuries.
Oh,
right?
No. And the Roman Catholics know this. As their scholars do anyway, whether the regular people know. I didn't know growing up.
Right, but their scholars do know the difference, right?
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Created this.
Oh,
they
yeah.
created de novo because the Pope so-called assumed this authority to create this, right?
Somewhat.
Yeah, somewhat.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
It's very important information, isn't it?
Yes. Well, so first,
you're doing it in a very tactful and gentle way. I love how you do things. You're gentle, but you're tactful, but you're intellectually accurate.
Well, speaking of being intellectually accurate, let me just read a quote from the Catholic Encyclopedia, which has an imprimatur, by the way, in case you're Roman Catholic. Here's a quote from the article of Christmas. Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the church, end quote. And that's absolutely correct.
Right.
It was not. Now, I'm going to get to December and Christmas in a couple different ways. According to an Armenian scholar named Ananias of Shirak, he said that the festival of Jesus being on December 25th, he said it was not appointed by the apostles nor their successors. But instead, he said it came from a heretic by the name of Cerinthus. Now this didn't take hold, but Cerinthus supposedly is the first person who claimed some version of Christianity that celebrated or advocated the celebration of Christmas on December 25th. Now, he was considered such a heretic, for example, he didn't actually believe Jesus was divine. He had all kinds of weird views. But I'd like to read something with an account. Now, this is outside of the New Testament. This is written by Irenaeus, who was an early church historian.
Right.
And there's a story about the Apostle John. And here's what it says. There are those also who heard from him that John, the disciple of the Lord, going to bathe in Ephesus, and perceiving Cerinthus within. So let me stop here for a second. In the Roman days, the old ancient days, you didn't have your own bathtub in your own place. You went to a public bath.
A public bathing house, yeah, right.
Right. It says, John's going to bathe in Ephesus. And I've been, by the way, to Ephesus three times. And he says he perceived that Cerinthus, this guy who came up with December 25th, apparently, was in there. He rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, exclaiming, quote, "Let us fly, lest even the bathhouse fall down because Cerinthus, the enemy of the truth, is within."
Right.
Okay, so Now, I realize that's not in the Bible. It's a historical account outside of the scripture. Maybe it didn't happen. It probably did. But anyway, Cerinthus is supposedly the first one who came up with December 25th. But others didn't follow him. Okay, he was an apostate, so some apostates followed him, but most did not.
Right.
So he came up with it. It was kind of not kept particularly anymore. If you look through the records, this account of Cerinthus didn't even come up in most of them. They just tell you that it didn't start until December 25th, until the time of Emperor Constantine in the 4th century.
Right. Right.
There is this account that Cerinthus did it. Now, the other thing that's interesting, and you alluded to this before, is what was going on at the time. Well, what was going on at the time was that there was a holiday, and it was a holiday that is similar to Christmas. And let me read from this article. Was actually at physics.org.
You're kidding.
Let me read a couple things from the article, then I'll explain kind of how it got there.
Yeah, you have a sense of humor, too, and people have to get that when we're doing all this stuff.
All right. It says, Roman Christmases were similar to ours. The Romans celebrated the winter festival, the Sigillaria, on the 23rd of December, part of their Saturnalia festivities. Just like on Christmas Day, Sigillaria saw presents exchanged. Saturnalia began in the very early history of Rome. It's a festival devoted to the god Saturn, who's, by the way, agricultural god. The popularity of Saturnalia continued into the 3rd and 4th centuries until it was supplanted by the Christian festival of Christmas. We'll get to that in a moment.
Right.
Just like our festive season, it seemed that the whole of Rome geared up for Sigillaria, Seneca noted. It's now the month of December when the greatest part of the city is in a bustle. Loose reins are given to public dissipation. Everywhere you may hear sounds of great preparation. So in other words, they said, well, this is the Yuletide or Saturnalia season. You know, we know people can get a little rowdy, but we'll put up with that.
And it sounds like today of shopping, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. Now, I mentioned Irenaeus, who, according to the Catholic Encyclopedia, is one of the two great early historians. Well, the other one is a guy by the name of Tertullian. Now, Tertullian, he was from Alexandria, Egypt, and he's actually called the father of Latin theology. Now, if anybody was brought up Roman Catholic like you and I were, you may have thought that a lot of the early records and history things were in Latin. No,
right.
They were in Greek, because I thought they were in Latin, too. But it wasn't until Tertullian that we started to see much Latin, and he didn't start to write until around 190 A.D., so way later.
They had to actually translate from the Greek version of the early recordings into the Latin Vulgate, which is, the Vulgate originated a long time after Jesus, didn't it?
Yeah, the Latin Vulgate was by Jerome. That would be in the late 4th, early 5th century. But the father of Latin theology, they called him, is a guy named Tertullian. And he's an important historian. Now, he wrote a paper called On Idolatry. And he was complaining about what was happening. The people in his church, let's say what we would call the Eastern Orthodox Church at this time, because they have they consider Alexandria one of their sees, and the Roman Catholic Church. The same thing was kind of happening in these churches at this time, and Tertullian didn't like it.
Right.
And here's some of what he wrote, and I'll have to explain a little bit of it. The Minervalia is much Minerva's as a Saturnalia Saturn's. So what you're saying is that if you keep Saturnalia, you're belonging to the god Saturn. If you keep Minervalia, you're belonging to the god Minerva.
Right.
And it says it's even kept by little slaves at the time of Saturnalia. Gifts are done, exchanged there, and these presents at midwinter must be given. Schools must be wreathed with flowers, and the school is honored on the appointed holy days. So these same things take place on an idol's birthday. Every pomp of the devil is frequented. Who will think these things are befitting to a Christian master? Unless it be he shall think them suitable, likewise, one who's not master. So what he's saying is people are doing this and they're claiming to be Christian. And then it gets worse. He says the majority, now this is the majority of people who were in what I would call the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic Church. This is the end of the 2nd century, early part of the 3rd century. He says the majority of these people have by this time induced the belief in their mind it's pardonable if at any time they do what the heathen do for fear, quote, the name be blasphemed. And we'll get to that in a moment.
Oh, really?
Yes. They're referring to Scripture. They're giving a scriptural reason why it was okay that they could do this. And Tertullian says,
I'm sure you said that wasn't true, right?
No, all he said, to live with a heathen is lawful, to die with them is not. Okay, let's be glad with them, but not out of superstition. We're supposed to be, he says, fellow possessors of the world, but not of error. We have no right to commune with this kind. And why should we do this? How can we defend this? Okay, he says, with Saturnalia and New Year's, presents come and go. There's the noise, and there's all the banquets and the parties. He says,
wow.
Why would Christians do this? They don't seem to do this on Pentecost. And the pagans don't keep up with us. Why should we be keeping Saturnalia with them? And I'll explain about the name being blasphemed when we get back, since I hear your music coming.
Is that ever amazing? That's and you're quoting their own sources, so what can you say? That's you're really good at that. You quote their own sources to bring things back to reality. How's that?
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Wow, that's interesting. So please continue. I'm just riveted by this story. This is amazing.
Okay, well, getting back to what we were doing before the break. Before the break, I read from Tertullian, who's considered a great historian by the Roman Catholics, and he said that the Catholics, what we now call the Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics, were starting to do this. They were celebrating basically a pagan holiday. It was not called Christmas then, but they did it. They pointed to Scripture. They did this so the name would not be blasphemed. And it's like, huh? So that's actually a reference to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. And I'm going to read it. I'd like to read it from two translations again. First one would be from a Protestant translation, New King James, and the next one is from a Catholic translation. So people will realize that I'm trying to be fair to both sides of these. Here. Anyway, it says, let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Okay, that's the New King James. Now I'm going to read from the Douay Rheims, it's a Catholic translation. Whosoever are servants under the yoke, let them count their masters worthy of all honor, lest the name of the Lord and his doctrine be blasphemed. Well, how is keeping a pagan holiday stop the name from being blasphemed? It makes no sense. Okay, that's the scripture they're quoting as proof. Somebody apparently used this as an excuse. Everybody just jumped on it.
Right.
It certainly should not be an excuse to celebrate pagan days. And actually, I'd like to go another step further. I want to go to 2 Peter. I want to read this from the New King James, and I'll read it from a Catholic translation. It says, for there are false prophets among the people. This is 2 Peter 2, starting verse 1. Even as there will be false teachers among you, who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them in, and bringing themselves unto swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they'll exploit you with deceptive words, for long their judgment has been idle, and their destruction will not slumber. So this is saying, what Peter wrote is, look, the way of truth is blasphemed if you go and listen to false teachers. And so anybody who's telling you should celebrate pagan holidays, and that's a good Christian thing to do. That's what he's warning, what Peter warned. Now, this time I'll read the same thing, except this will be from the Douay Rheims, again, which is the Roman Catholic translation of the Bible. But
right.
Jesus says basically the same thing. He says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there shall be among you lying teachers who shall bring in sex position and denying the Lord who brought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their riotousness, like parties and such,
right.
through whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. And they tell you, oh, it's okay to, you know, spend on yourself and buy other people presents and all this. And I'm not arguing whether or not you should ever give anybody a present, okay? But they're trying to, they try to use these kind of covetous words. Anyway, then it concludes with, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their perdition slumbers not. So you're not really supposed to follow covetous teachings, false teachings, because that's what causes the way of truth to be blasphemed. So people who profess Christ back around 200 A.D. should not have been compromising and going ahead and celebrating a pagan holiday. Now, I mentioned Tertullian before. I'd like
right.
to read one of the last, probably the last thing I'm going to read from him.
Right.
This is, again, from his writing called On Idolatry. Now, he refers to Scripture. He says, but let your light, your work shine, says he. But now, all of our shops and gates shine. And what is that talking about? He's talking about people putting up what we would now call Christmas lights. Now, I realize they did not have electricity back then, okay?
Right.
But he says, now all of our shops and gates shine. Again, he's condemning the Catholics, because he was one at that stage.
Right.
See, nowadays, you'll find more doors of heathens without lamps and laurel wreaths than that of Christians.
Right.
So he said, you know, more people who professing Christ are going out and putting wreaths on their houses and putting up lights. He says this is to an, if it's for an idol's honor, without doubt, an idol's honor is idolatry. And if you're doing this for human sake, let's consider that all idolatry is for human sake.
Right.
Okay? So he says, let's consider that all idolatry is worship done to men. And so he says, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. And he says, idolatry is condemned not on account of the persons who set up for worship, but on account of those who observe it.
Right.
Which pertains to demons. So he says, you know, it's demonic to go and follow pagan gods and to go and do this.
Right.
Now, I realize people say, look, we're not worshiping pagan gods when we do this. Okay? People think, look, we're doing this for Jesus. Well, you're not doing it for Jesus, because Jesus was born. Jesus.
You're doing it in spite of him is what you're doing.
Well, you'll use his name.
I'm being sarcastic, but you are doing it in spite of him, right?
Well, you're not doing it because of him. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, Jesus told the disciples that his followers should go and teach everything he commanded. And one of the things he did not command was to set aside a date to celebrate his birth. And then, of course, to incorporate all kinds of practices in it that are simply inappropriate. And what do you mean by inappropriate? Well, first of all, you know, you've got the 12 days of Christmas. I don't know if you've heard about too much about this, but this actually comes from what, according to the Nordic Wiccan website. I went to the Nordic Wiccan website,
right.
And this is what it says. Yuletide is perhaps the greatest of all heathen holidays. It's a time of celebration and close family contact, which lasts 12 days and nights. People say, you know, what's wrong with having a celebration of close family contact? Well,
right.
having close family contact is fine if you want to do it God's way, but this is, again, from a Wiccan, a witchcraft throwing site, okay? And it says, each of these 12 days and nights can be viewed as a month of each year in miniature. So that's what they say. This is why they have 12 days, is what they're claiming. He says, many of the customs associated with Christmas actually began from heathen Yule rites and customs. Many gods and goddesses are honored during Yuletide. And basically, this is where we come up with the 12 days of Yule.
Right.
And they started says the altar of the on the Yule should face north. The area is decorated with holly and mistletoe, and it basically ends at what's called the Night of the Oak King. Okay, it starts on what's called Mother Night and ends on the Night of the Oak King. Now, it's not exactly the same 12 days that people use for the 12 days of Christmas now, depending on which way you want to count. There's two different ways to count the 12 days of Christmas. Three ways, actually. The original way, as far as I can tell, is from December 20th through December 31st. And that's how the witchcraft people do it, the Yule
right.
night. Then there's ending the 12 days of Christmas on December 25th. And then there's essentially the period of time from the 25th through January 6th, and there's an argument of whether Jesus was circumcised, and they sometimes call that the day of his circumcision, which doesn't make any sense. He would have been circumcised in the fall. But anyway, so I've seen three different dates, but again, it didn't come from the Bible, this idea of having 12 days of Christmas, 12 days of Yuletide. Again, people think of Yuletide, oh, that sounds like Christmas. Well, except it was actually Nordic god worship, and that's basically, or actually, where it did come from. Now, when you go through...
Which is pretty nasty, isn't it?
Yeah, you're certainly not getting it from...
That's like the days of the week. Monday is the moon, so Tuesday is what's the name? I'm trying to remember the Nordic origin of Tuesday.
Yes, I
think it's one of the goddesses. And yeah. Wednesday is Woden's Day. Thursday is Thor, T-H-O-R, is Thor's Day. Friday is one of the female goddesses' day. And Saturday is Saturnalia Day. I mean, people don't realize there's a Nordic origin even to the days of our week. Right?
A lot of things. Again,
yeah.
Days of the week are one thing. Celebrating pagan holidays are another.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Amazing, eh? Well, what an amazing thing.
Compliment. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Last segment, we are now going to, gently go after the Christmas tree. Now, I tell people, don't be legalists, but you have to understand, don't believe in Christmas. You know, you can play it for your kids, maybe, yeah, if you're not too legalistic, but to be honest with you, I don't go to Christmas and midnight ceremonies. I don't believe in it. I think it's a pagan ceremony, and unfortunately, it's the same thing as Easter. We don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate the Passover, Pesach. And in fact, I also do the various ceremonies like Hanukkah at times. We didn't this year; we're too damn busy. But what people have to understand is what's going on right now is apostasy, and it goes right back from ancient Rome. It's no different than Saturnalia of ancient Rome and the Nordic ceremonies that occurred thousands of years ago, right?
Well, there's a lot of what's going on was something that the heathen did because it was cold and dark, and people just continued that. And in time. There's three or four things that I want to try to get into. In time, what happened was there was a guy by the name of Constantine who saw the sun god Apollo in some field one time. And then he thought he should worship the sun god. So he was a follower of the god called Mithra or Mithras. Anyway,
right.
A couple of years later, he claimed to see a vision of the sky with a spear with a crossbar over it.
And by the way, they were doing this when they were taking mind-altering mushrooms and other things, when they had these visions of Odin and these gods, right?
I don't know if he was taking what he was taking.
They were taking various, like, anamuscanita or whatever, these other mushrooms in order to get an altered mental states.
Anyway.
It was part of their ceremonies, their ancient Nordic ceremonies.
Well, anyway, what he did was he was celebrating the sun god Mithra's birthday on December 25th.
Ah.
And he became very popular, and he kind of united some of the Greco-Roman churches in his day. And basically, it was because of him that December 25th ended up being adopted by the...
What year was that? What was his name, and what was the year again, and who was
Emperor
it?
Emperor Constantine?
Emperor Constantine did it back in the 20th and 30th. And, of course, he was a pagan even to his deathbed, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like, they said he did a deathbed conversion. I don't believe it.
Well, he actually wanted to be buried in the sun god cemetery, so, you know. Anyway, getting back to some other things you said, and I'll get to the tree in just a moment.
Right.
One of the things you brought up was you keep Passover and not Easter, and the same with us. Now, growing up Roman Catholic, what I did not realize, and I did not know this, and Catholics, you can check this out in the Catechism of the Catholic Church and other Catholic sources, Easter is supposed to actually be Passover. It's not, but it's supposed to be.
Right.
Catholic Church teaches that they're keeping Passover, except they now call it Easter, and Passover was kept at night. It was a memorial of Christ's coming execution, etc. And he
right.
did this, and it also talked about, you know, the children of Israel and all this stuff from Egypt. But the reality is that is eventually switched from being kept when the early Christians kept it, and it got switched to Sunday morning instead of the evening of the 14th of the first month of the biblical calendar.
Right.
So people didn't. I didn't know growing up that Easter was supposed to be Passover. I had no idea, and so a lot of people don't know this either. So I mentioned that. As far as our kids, our children never celebrated Christmas. We didn't tell them there was a Santa Claus. We didn't lie to them and doing that kind of stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
As far as the trees go, some people will quote, you know, Jeremiah chapter 10, and some people get all upset if you quote Jeremiah chapter 10. And I want to read some of it from a Catholic translation and try to deal with some of the issues that come up here. So Jeremiah 10, starting verse 2 from the Douay Rheims. Thus says the Lord, learn not according to the way of the Gentiles, and don't be afraid of the signs of the heavens, which the heathen fear. For the laws of the people are vain, for the works of their hand of the workman. He's cut a tree out of the forest with an axe. He decks it with silver and gold. He puts it together with nails and hammers so it doesn't fall asunder. They're framed after the likeness of a palm tree. They shall not speak, and it must be carried to be removed because it cannot go. Therefore, fear them not, for they cannot do evil nor good. Okay.
Right.
So some people say, okay, this is a reference to a Christmas tree. And others say, well, wait a second, hold on. This is a palm tree. It's therefore it's not an evergreen tree. Well, but they're missing the point here. What God is saying here through Jeremiah is, look, don't follow the world's customs in worship. Okay? It isn't that if you have a tree that's got tinsel and whatever on it, it's going to strike you down. Okay? It can't do anything, good or bad. Okay? But it's not a good thing to do. Because it's not how you're supposed to worship God. And I had someone recently write me and say, look, it says with silver and gold, and silver gold costs X dollars an ounce, and gold so much an ounce, and people don't put that on the trees. Well, actually, some people do, but even it doesn't matter. Growing up, as I mentioned before, I did not have negative experiences with Christmas trees, but I remember decorating trees with a tree with my mother a couple of times. And we put silver and gold tinsel on it. Now, I realized this was real silver or real gold. We didn't have, we're middle class, we didn't have any money.
Right.
But if you look at the principle here, the principle of God says, don't worship me the way others do it.
Right.
And to read from the NIV, which is a Protestant translation, verse 3 of Jeremiah 10 says, for the customs of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of the forest, and the craftsman shapes with his hands, and they adorn it with silver and gold, and fasten it with hammer and nails so it doesn't totter. Okay, that's pretty much what you do with a Christmas tree.
Well, here's what I'm going to throw this out. It's just an idea. To me, it looks like the ancient pagan ceremony was you cut out a tree out of the forest and put it in your house. It's almost like a tree of everlasting life and resurrection. So it's the Satan's lie about resurrection, because it's dead. It's in your home. You're going to decorate it all up. And they call it evergreen. And what you do is take this evergreen tree and pretend it's like a symbol of everlasting life, which it's not. In fact, it's already dying in your house. We have to use water and these preservatives so it doesn't drop all its leaves in your home. So, you know, the original lie of Satan was, do what thou wilt is the hold of the law. In other words, you're so perfect, made by God, you don't need to consult God to tell what's good or evil, because there's only really one sin that mankind does. Do what is right in your own eyes, without consulting God. That's it. Everything else that happens is a peripheral side to that. And the tree is a good example of a sin, because you're doing something that's right in your own eyes, where it's not godly, right?
Correct. And the point I would make about Christmas is, getting back to where, you know, it doesn't do evil, it can't do good or evil, the tree itself, but the focus, people then have switched.
The focus is off of God, right?
And what God's truth is, okay?
Well, 98% of what the devil does and what we do with the devil, tastes, looks, and smells good, even Christmas. They have the Christmas songs and the carols and the cakes and all the other things, and families get together. I call it Stressmas, too, because often when harm happens over Christmas, a lot of people get very depressed. There's a lot of suicides over Christmas. A lot of health problems start at Christmas time, including cancer, heart disease, and strokes. But I call it Stressmas, because the sins of previous Christmases are visited on this Christmas, like the Grinch and the Krampus. They call it, in Germany, they call it the Krampus, which brings coal and puts in your stocking. People don't understand, this is all, in other words, Christmas itself is Satan saying, you're still mine, in a sense, when you celebrate this day, because he takes you with a focus off of Yeshua, born probably in the fall feast, most likely around Sukkot, and puts you on a focus of something that's a Nordic and pagan and Luciferic holy day, or unholy day, I should call it.
What it does is it doesn't get all the truth about Jesus out there.
No.
It gets people to decide that it's okay to do it their way, as you indicated before.
It also infantilizes God. It infantilizes God, too, rather than being the God the Father in the flesh. Right? It infantilizes God.
It's where you went back to before. You know, one of the biggest sin, and I did a sermon on this once, what commandments broke the most often is the first. People put other gods before God. They decided there's other things that are better, and they people rationalize. Now, we all make mistakes. The Bible says we all sin and falling short of the glory of God, so I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm just perfect, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, I won't do that.
Well, you know, I'm going to quote this, because your church is separate from this, because you actually try to return to the original gospel. It said, behold, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and of abominations on the earth. The mother church is the Roman Catholic Church, and the daughter churches are all the Christian apostate churches to worship on Sunday, Christmas, and Easter, right?
Well, and there's the others, and others who don't necessarily do that too.
Exactly, lots of others, but that's a good start. So, in other words, Babylon the Great has its seat in the geopolitical and religious systems that are a substitute for a relationship with God and the truth. Amazing show. I mean, you need the truth. Don't be offended. Realizing that even if you are not legalistic, you have a little Christmas in your life, don't take it too seriously. It's not godly, it's not Christian, and it's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to remember He came to us to take away our sins and act as a substitute to bring us grace. Thank you, Dr. Bob Teal. Merry Christmas to all. We'll be back tomorrow with The Firing Line, and we're going to have some amazing shows coming up. Cody Snodgrass and...
My doctor. Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.